would please open your Bibles to Colossians. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 3. Whew! This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. That's what we're going to look at tonight. And, you know, that one-liner, too, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, let's not get too comfortable here, guys. We're just passing through, okay? Like, if I'm traveling out of the country, which doesn't really happen very much for me, but, I mean, let's pretend, okay? If I'm traveling out of the country to, let's say, Bangladesh came up yesterday. Let's go with Bangladesh. All right, so I'm traveling to Bangladesh. I'm not gonna be like so worried about the society, the culture, the government, the politics, all the things, right? In Bangladesh, if I'm just passing through, I'm just visiting, right? Well, guess what? It's no different with us. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Let's not get all caught up. Let's not get all entangled with the things of this world, because we're leaving this joint, you know? We are. We're going to get up out of here. So that's the deal. So Colossians, all right, let me see. You guys are all there. I was busy talking. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Okay, here we go. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are we?
Yes.
Yeah. We were risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Did I say that right? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's the deal. So, gosh, we've learned all these things already this weekend that God has done for us in Christ, that we are seated in the heavenlies, right there with Christ at the right hand of God, with all that authority, all that power, all of God's blessings and favor, right there at the right hand of God. And here, now God's asking us to do something. He did. He asked us to do something. So anything God asks us to do, we can do, right? He's a good father, and a good father would never ask their children to do something they can't do, right? So this is something we can do. Let's look at Psalm 34. We're just passing through. All right, Psalm 34. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. It says, I sought the Lord, and he was on another phone call. He was too busy. He was taking a nap. No, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked to God and they were lightened. That means like to radiate or beam. They radiate or beam or shine as they look to God. That's us. As we look to God, we can shine. We radiate. We beam. And it says their faces were not ashamed. They weren't like, you know, shamefaced, whatever that means. They weren't embarrassed because God comes through on his word. God takes care of his own, doesn't he? We know that. We should know that. So what a beautiful thing. And going back to verse 4, I'm going to read verse 4 again. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That word for sought is that incredible word where it's treading a path. Or frequenting a place, okay? I've thought about what kinds of places do I frequent often, right? And I had a lot of places, but really it's Amazon. I frequent Amazon. So anyways, what is it that we frequent? Well, God wants it to be him. Where's the spot, that place that we go frequently, that we tread a path to over and over again? It should be God and his word. Okay, we're going to keep cruising along. We're just passing through. We're going to keep cruising along. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. We're going to look at chapter 16. But while you're turning, I forgot to mention something. Back in Colossians, where it says to seek, that word to seek is to seek in order to find, right? We're seeking those things which are above. And then where it says set your affection, that is talking about exercising your mind. We can develop a mindset of seeking God, of striving after, aiming for the things of God. And that's what we want to do in this life, you know? Rather than get all mixed up and entangled in the things of this world, let's seek God. Let's set our affection on God. Let's strive towards those things of God, using this power that we've been given to bless, to give, to heal, to help, that we could go after the goals that God has for us, right? That's what we want to seek after. Well, here in 2 Chronicles, we're going to look at a king who did not do that. This guy, Asa, he started off being a dude who did seek after things of God. He did go to God, but then he forgot or got tricked. I don't know. But here we're going to see in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 16. It says, and at that time, Hanani-Nani, the seer, the prophet, the man of God, came to Asa, okay, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is this host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. So this is, let me set the stage here for you a little bit. Asa had made a league over in verse 3 with this king of Syria. He was an unbeliever. And he made an alliance with him. He made an alliance with this king. And man, it didn't go so good for him when he made that decision. So Hanani-Nani, this prophet is calling him out. So verse 9, it continues on, and this incredible verse is right here in the middle of all this. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. See, what happened was King Asa, he made an alliance with this unbeliever king and set him ahead of God. See, we can never do that. It doesn't turn out so hot, you know. So in summary, setting an alliance with God, good. Setting an alliance with an unbeliever king, bad. Okay, good. All right, now verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. This is just not getting any better for this guy. It's just not. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. See, anything that we seek ahead of God, it's not going to go good for us. And it didn't go good for this dude. So we have to really watch in our lives what the things are that we're aligning our lives with, who we align our lives with. We have to watch this. It's very important. Turn to Isaiah 57. It's really a big deal where we go for help. It's a big deal where we go for help. God wants us to go to him for help. Just like we saw, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth so he could show himself strong on their behalf. Strong. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to get involved in our lives. And he's looking. He's looking to us, waiting, ready to go to action to help us. Here's Isaiah 57, and we're going to look at verse 19. It says here in Isaiah 57, 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Peace, peace, healing. That's what we get from God. Verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So we look to the world, it's just like constant unrest. Things are always like churning, you know, getting kicked up. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff, right, get stirred up in the world these days lately. And it's like that all the time. This is what you get from the world. From God, we get peace, peace. We get healing. Isn't that awesome? That's the stuff, right, that we want to go after. That's the stuff we want to strive towards. You know, that mindset of getting to that peace of God. Look at John, the Gospel of John 14. The world is loud. And it's busy, right? It's noisy, it's loud, it's busy. We need to get to the peace of God. God has peace for us. And you know what else? God has something to say to you. So we gotta get peaceful so that we can hear that still, small voice. God's got stuff to tell us so that we can help, so that we can bless, so that we can deliver, so that we can heal, right? And, you know, we want to strive towards, aim after those things of God, right? That we can get to that sweet spot, enjoying that fellowship with God and being able to help, to heal, to deliver. That we would go after the goals that God has, not the goals that the world has. The world's got all kinds of stuff, and we know it, don't we? All kinds of stuff that can toss us and pull us in a million different directions. And so, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about that? Well, we have a decision to make. God says, set your affection on things above. That's what God says. That's what he's asking us to do. Look at, so I said Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 27 here. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So if we're just passing through, right, we're just visiting, guys. We're just visiting. We shouldn't get too comfortable here. Then we don't need to get all agitated and amped about the stuff that the world gets agitated and amped about, right? We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that because we're just passing through. It's just a quick little visit. Just a quick little visit. We're going to be out of this joint. So awesome, right? All right, look at James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. God wants us at peace. peace. He wants us healed. And he wants to be able to get through to us, to communicate to us. He's got things for us to do. There's things for us to do here on this earth while we're here, while we're passing through. We got stuff to do. So let's get busy getting peaceful. Let's get busy seeking after God's goals, you know, that we can help heal, bless, deliver, have see those signs, miracles, and wonders that come as we believe God's word. There's an exciting life while we're passing through that we can enjoy with God. That's way more worth our time than the stuff and junk of the world. All right, let's see here. James chapter 3, verse 14. Oh boy, here we go. This is not pretty. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Reminds me a lot of back in Isaiah with all the stewing and churning and all of that, right? The troubled seas. Well, look at 17, verse 17. But in contrast, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Ah, oh, doesn't that sound so much nicer? It's just kind of like, it just settles you down, settles your heart. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us at peace and settled. We live in a very busy, loud, noisy, yucky, gloomerstein world. But God wants us seeking those things which are above, setting our affection on things that are above, so that we can be at peace, be settled, so we can pursue and strive after the things that he's got for us. So cool. All right, we're going to keep going. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Wait, I went too far. Matthew chapter 6. There's this beautiful Orientalism here where God just paints such a cool picture in Matthew 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 21. And it says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse 19, this word for lay and the word for up, like a layup? No, not like that. The word for lay and up are actually the same word. And it means to amass, reserve, to heap up, to store up. What in the heck are we storing up? What are we amassing? You know, I was thinking like, you know, you see these like hoarder homes and they have so much stuff, they have to have storage upon storage for all the stuff and junk. Well, what about us, right? Are we so filled in our minds and in our thoughts with all the stuff and junk of the world? How can God get through to us? You know, we've got to not lay up for ourselves all the stuff and junk. We got to instead put on the things of God, heavenly things, the thoughts of God, you know, get to that sweet spot of the peace of God in our lives. So Bishop Pillai has these verses. I'm going to read them to you. He has them translated as Let not your thoughts be centered in material things, where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration, and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. It's like highway robbery. We're being robbed, people. But let your thoughts be centered in the Spirit, where neither fear and worry breeds defeat and frustration, and where doubts do not break through and steal your thoughts. For where your thoughts are, there will your heart be also. So we can think spiritually. We can have our lives centered on the goals of God, right? That would be the thing that we would pursue, that we would strive after, that we would store up a whole lot of. Let's store up a whole lot of that instead of all the crap of the world. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, biblically, a servant is to watch, have their eyes on the master at all times. And they're looking at the hands of the master so that, you know, if there was just the slightest flick of the hand, the servant would see that, would catch that, and receive direction from the master just from that slightest flick of the hand, right? Well, how about us? See, we can't watch the goals of this world and God's goals at the same time. That's an important deal there. So no man can serve two masters. We gotta serve somebody. We gotta serve somebody. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 4. God wants to be number one in our lives. Remember, back in the law, the Old Testament law, have no gods before me, right? And he wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God, or else he wouldn't have it in this Bible of ours. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Mark 4, 18, it says, and this is the parable of the sower and the seed, okay? And in verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This word choke is quite something. It means to strangle completely, literally to drown or to crowd. We cannot let the stuff of this world, the stuff of this life, choke out the word of God in our lives. We can't allow it. Can't allow it to strangle, to drown, to crowd out God's word in our lives. The things of God, right? It's a big deal. So let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We're just passing through, and God's got stuff for us to do as we're passing through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That outward man is perishing, and don't we know it? Lord, come quickly. But that inward man, that Holy Spirit, the Christ in us, is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, God calls the stuff that we go through in this life, because it's no secret we go through stuff, right? He calls it a light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's a drop in the bucket compared to all eternity. worketh for us a far more exceeding and internal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, they're temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the things which are seen in this material, physical realm that we live in, they're temporary. They're not going to last. You know, everything in the material realm is in a constant state of decay. So why do we want to get all caught up in that? When we have rewards now and for all eternity, why do we want to get caught up in the other stuff? All right, we're going to go to Philippians to close. This has been fun, guys. We should do this again in a few minutes. Oh, gosh. All right. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 18. Okay, Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's not us. Not us, guys. Don't worry. The next verse. The next verse. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. We're just passing through. We don't need to get all entangled. We don't need to get all caught up with society and all the garbage. We're just visiting, just a little visit. But we've got stuff to do while we're here. So let's get peaceful so that we can hear God's still small voice. God's got something to say to you, to us, that we can move his word, bring healing, deliverance, peace, joy. I like joy. So God bless you. I love you. Christ is coming back.